A reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me.
Good morning. Let me pray as we begin. Let's pray. Father, we're still so sad to still be apart this morning, but we thank you that you are at work among us and you are with us wherever we are. And we pray this morning that you would be at work to change our wills, our desires, and our actions and our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look back at verse 12, where Paul says, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. At Crossway, my dear family, Jesus' call to us this morning is to work out our salvation. Paul doesn't say work for salvation, as if it was something we don't yet have, but work out salvation, because we're putting into practice something that's already ours. When Bethan and I were dating, you could say I was working for marriage, desperately trying to persuade her that marrying me was a good idea. But for the last 12 years, we've been working out our marriage. It's something we have, which we're putting into practice, even if I'm still desperately trying to persuade her that marrying me was a good idea. And the Philippians, and us if we're Christians, have salvation. Yeah, we're still waiting for our Saviour Jesus to return, still waiting for resurrection bodies, but salvation is ours now. Chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Chapter 1, verse 27, he said, literally, live as citizens worthy. We have salvation. We are citizens of heaven. We're just not yet there. So work out your salvation means live out the reality that Jesus has saved you. Live now as a citizen of heaven. And that by itself could mean lots of things, but the context here makes it very specific. Because verse 12 starts, if you look down, verse 12, therefore, my beloved. So this command comes from what Paul's just said. And last week in verses 3 and 4, Paul called us to follow Jesus' example of humble service for the sake of others. How Jesus, though God himself, became man and humbled himself to die on a cross to save the world. And just as verse 8, look on, middle of verse 8, Jesus was obedient to death. So now, verse 12, Paul says, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so work out your salvation. Verse 12 says, friends, let's put this into practice. Serve others' interests, whatever the cost, just like Jesus. And glance back to chapter 1, verse 27, because remember Paul's purpose in this letter. Chapter 1, middle of verse 27. He wants three things to hear that the Philippians are, first thing, standing firm. Second, that they're doing that in one spirit, with one mind. And third, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. In chapter 1, Paul showed us what striving for the gospel looked like. In chapter 3, he'll unpack standing firm. But here in chapter 2, Paul unpacks having one mind. And last week we saw it means, chapter 2, verse 4, don't just look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's what produces this one mind. And we saw that in Jesus' example last week. We'll see it in Timothy's example in a couple of weeks' time. But in between, the big thing Paul's doing this week is showing us that living this way, serving others' interests, whatever the cost, like Jesus, will be worth it. It will be worth it. And we need to know it's worth it, don't we? Because it's easy to think that it's not. Perhaps you're not a Christian or you're not sure where you stand, but you know Jesus doesn't have first place in your life. And maybe you heard last week's talk and you're thinking, but why would I follow Jesus if it means costly service of other people? Why would it be worth doing that? Or maybe you're actively serving as someone who's a Christian and you're playing a part of a small group or you're making time to prepare. Maybe you're giving money to support our work together as a church or you're giving time to look out for other people. But it's already feeling hard this year with all the extra difficulties, spending longer maybe going to see people or putting up with the challenges of video calls. And you find yourself thinking, is it worth it? And maybe I'll just do a bit less till life gets a bit easier. Maybe you're already doing that. Or perhaps you're just fed up and weary. And maybe even on the edge of giving up on Jesus completely. Maybe a whole host of things have gone wrong these past few months. And the idea of more serving others, whatever the cost, is just too much to bear. One of the real pains of being apart is how much harder it is to know how everyone is doing. But no doubt Paul felt that too, miles away from these Philippians, in his prison. But what he chose to say to them is what I have to say to you this morning. That wherever we're coming from, it will be worth it to keep following Jesus or even to start for the first time. And so let's hear what God has to say this morning. And first, Paul says, it will be worth it because God is at work among you. A look at the middle of verse 12. Work out your own salvation, verse 12, with fear and trembling. For verse 13, it is God who works in you. God is at work among you. It will be worth it. Paul's command by itself could sound like a demanding taskmaster. But rather, get the tone of this. Verse 12, he starts verse 12, my beloved. He loves them to bits like we do you. This isn't a rebuke, but it's a warm encouragement. Look back at verse 12. He says, you've always obeyed when I was with you and now we're apart. And we remember pre-COVID being together, serving together. And since we've been apart, we've seen so much love and gospel care in action. And it warms our hearts because we know, Crossway, that God's at work among you. So let's keep going with the little things or bigger things, whatever we're able to do for Jesus' sake. Remember how Paul opened in chapter 1. Just glance back there. Chapter 1, middle of verse 7. He holds them in his heart. Middle of verse 8, he yearns with affection. And this deep love flows from verse 6. Look back. Verse 6, the verse Jamie started with, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Paul knows, point one, God is at work in them. So it will all be worth it. Crossway, it will be worth it. And come back to chapter 2, verse 13, because Paul unpacks what difference this makes. Verse 13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Saying God's at work in you to will and to work means God's at work both to give us the desire to keep following Jesus' example and he'll enable us to actually do it. When God's at work in us, both our wills and our actions will change. And this is such a boost. Paul gives this massive command, work out your salvation. And we think, man, that's impossible. But then he says, guys, God is at work among you, giving you the desire and then fulfilling that desire. God is at work. This will happen. It will be worth it. This week, I heard an interview with some Hong Kong protesters, and they had deep emotional and physical scars. They're facing prison, and one of them said, it's affected my whole life. The cost has been enormous. And I'm not making any comment about the rights or wrongs of that situation. It's just an example that I saw this week of two guys who have sacrificed loads for a cause. And no doubt they've asked themselves, was it worth it? Will it make any difference? Have I just ruined my life? And we can ask similar as Christians when we feel the cost of following Jesus. But I was thinking about this passage and what Paul's saying. And it's a bit like, imagine those guys were back on the streets. When suddenly the most powerful man in China, President Xi Jinping, pops up next to them in the crowd and says, lads, I'm on your side. Let's do this. Just imagine how that would change how they feel. Now it's all worth it. This is going to happen. The most powerful man in the country is with us. And of course, that's ridiculous. It would never happen. But just imagine it happened, because that would give a sense of how ridiculously brilliant and unbelievably wonderful we should feel at verse 13. Work out your salvation, serve others' interests, whatever the cost, because verse 13, do you know who's at work among us? You'll never believe it. God himself is at work in you. Dear friends, keep going. It will be worth it. And then the verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Again, that could sound negative and scary, but again, Paul's saying, guys, this is for real. God really is at work among you, as he was when he came down on Mount Sinai and the people trembled, or when his glory filled the temple and the people cowered. God is as much among you as when Isaiah fell on his face before his glory. This is for real. This is awesome in the proper sense of that word, with that kind of trembling excitement when someone big is in the room. Dear friends, beloved, we're still apart, but God is at work among us. So serving others, whatever the cost, will be worth it. And second, Paul says it will be worth it because the fact that you're living like this shows you're God's true people. Look at verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. And you can see why Paul might need to say that. Serving others, whatever the cost, could easily lead to resentment. Giving money like these Philippians did could make us begrudge it. Staying late to pray with friends could make us grumpy about being tired. If standing with Jesus publicly provokes opposition, we could get bitter. If travelling all the way to a group in person takes longer, we could grumble. But knowing it's worth it will keep us from that. But Paul's doing more than preempting a problem, because he's directly echoing what Moses says about Israel in the Old Testament. So in Exodus 14 at the Red Sea, they grumbled, why are we here? We're going to die. Then Exodus 16 in the desert, they grumbled, we're going to starve. Exodus 17, they had no water and they grumbled. Leaving Mount Sinai, Numbers 11, they had no food and grumbled. At the Promised Land, Numbers 13, they see big enemies and grumble. And then you might have looked at this in groups this week in Numbers 21 with the bronze serpent. Again, they grumble. And in Deuteronomy 32, at the end of his life, Moses says, and just look at verse 15 as you hear this. Moses says of Israel, they're no longer God's children because they're blemished. They're a crooked and twisted generation. It's exactly what Paul's quoting in verse 15, but saying, don't be like that. But here's the question. Why were Israel like that in the Old Testament? Why did they grumble again and again? Well, because they didn't believe God would finish what he'd started. They didn't think God was with them, at work among them. They didn't think working out their salvation, whatever the cost, was worth it. Which is why Paul started verse 13. God is at work among you. And why he started this letter, chapter 1, verse 6. Confident God will bring to completion the work he's begun. Crossway, dear family, God is at work in you. Because of Jesus, he will not let his people go. What he's begun in us, he'll bring to completion. So don't give up. Don't walk away. Let's keep working out our salvation. Verse 14 isn't about never asking questions or pointing out where things are wrong. The link to Israel shows it's about grumbling at God, resenting the cost of following Jesus, getting grumpy because serving his people puts us out. But end of verse 15, instead of being like Israel, verse 15, you'll shine as lights in the world. Again, Paul's echoing the Old Testament, this time where Daniel prophesies that in the time of the end, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. Paul sets these contrasting pictures before us and says, which will we be? A crooked, twisted, blemished, and ultimately rejected, or shining like stars, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life. Crossway family, dear brothers and sisters, in whom God is at work, we're citizens of heaven, we're children of God, and living like Jesus, serving each other's interests, is the path to shining like stars in this dark world. We've done this in the past. We're doing this now. Let's keep going. It will be worth it. Third, Paul says, it will be worth it because serving others, whatever the cost, third, guarantees eternal satisfaction. Look at the middle of verse 16. Paul says, verse 16, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. Twice, Paul says, it will not be in vain. Paul's convinced it will be worth it because his eyes aren't fixed on the cost of now, but the glory of then. And not on his cell or chains or the slander, but on the crown and the glory and the splendour. God says to us this morning, think about that day when Jesus returns, when everything we've done for Jesus and his people and his mission in this world will be utterly worth it. We won't have prayed in vain or given money in vain or served in vain or spoken about Jesus in vain or loved in vain or led Bible studies in vain or cooked meals for people in vain, because God is at work in us to complete what he's begun. It will all be worth it. Paul's image in verse 16 is from sport. So think of the Tour de France this year. It has 20 stages. And this year, this guy, Roglic, took the lead in stage 9 and kept first place through stages 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 and 19. 1,200 miles in first place. And then stage 20 was heartbreaking. He lost 3 minutes to the guy in second and lost the whole tour. All those miles, all those agonising hill climbs, for what? No one remembers second place. But that is what everything in this life is like, except for just serving Jesus, his people and his mission. These Philippians could have built nice houses with their money or collected gold jewellery or cultivated their gardens or enjoyed the Roman baths or dined in style on those couches they used to have through every stage of their lives, but couldn't hold on to any of it come life's final stage. And it's the same for us. But use what we have for Jesus, his people and his mission. By serving others' interests, whatever the cost, then with Paul, we will say, not in vain. So has God given you a house or a job? Use it for Jesus' sake and it will not be in vain. Has he given you time and relationships? Has he given you a church family and friendships and skills? Use them to serve Jesus' people and his mission in this world. Can you pray or teach the Bible or listen and comfort someone? Use it for Jesus' sake and it will not be in vain. Because God is at work among us. We, Crossway, are part of God's true people, working out our salvation, serving others' interests, whatever the cost, like Jesus, will never be in vain. It will be worth it. But the joy is not just future. Because finally, living like Jesus, serving others' interests, as we saw in chapter 1 as well, gives present joy. Verse 17, look down. Verse 17. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul's sacrifice image would be familiar to them in the Old Testament temple and in some of the pagan temples. They'd be like the main sacrifice. Paul says that's their service. And then they might pour wine or oil on top, what Paul calls the drink offering. And Paul says that that's him, like the icing on the cake or the side dish at the meal. And this image captures the partnership between Paul and the Philippians. They're in this together, praying for each other, sending people to encourage each other, both standing publicly for Jesus, giving money to support Paul. And because Paul's seen that God's at work in them, he's confident they're God's true people. He knows that when Jesus returns, all his love and prayer and teaching will be worth it. And so he gladly pours himself out now for their sake. Just like verse 7, Jesus, verse 7, emptied himself for our sake. And Paul sees their service as the main sacrifice and himself as the add-on. Again, valuing them above himself. But in that, verse 17, Paul is thrilled to bits. Verse 17, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And this joy isn't just for Paul. Verse 18 goes on. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. It wasn't just for Paul, it was for the Philippians. And it's for us too. Our translation has glad and then rejoice. But Paul literally says, I rejoice and I rejoice with you. So you rejoice and rejoice with me. Maybe our translators thought that was a bit repetitive. But that's the point. Paul is pumped with joy and says we can be too. Through serving others' interests, whatever it costs. Because God is at work, it will be worth it. Because Crossway, we're absent from each other, like Paul was from them. But God's still at work among us. He will finish what he started. Dear brothers and sisters, it will be worth it. Living this way will bring eternal satisfaction. Because the Jesus-shaped life is not in vain. And it offers joy now, even in our trials. Even for Paul in his chains. Even for us in our isolation and loneliness. In our grief and tears, in our confusion and uncertainty, God is at work, living like Jesus, giving ourselves to one another, to Jesus and his mission in this world, will be utterly worth it. Let's pray that God would impress on our hearts what we've heard from him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much that you are at work among us. We thank you so much for all the evidence of that we have seen, that we continue to see. We pray that you would convince us day by day that living for Jesus and for each other's sake is worth it. And we pray that you would complete the work that you've begun in us. In Jesus' name, amen.